I, the last time I sang that was in my secondary school.
Yeah.
But they did have one hymn every single day in the seminary. That's just what I did, and they had some good message. And that was always my favourite. That hymn. I don't know why. I mean, I just used to love singing that hymn, even when I was young. So it's great to be able to sing that. I hope that brought back some good memories. Or maybe not so good memories if it's at school. Good. Well, happy New Year to you. Hope your Christmas celebrations and your New Year celebrations went well. It may have been incredibly different from normal. It may have been a lot reduced from normal, but I pray that you still have a good time with family and friends. The most important decision that I believe that anyone can make in life is to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Saviour. From the moment they're born to the moment they die, I believe that to be the most important decision that we could ever make, that you could ever make, that anyone could ever make, to put their faith in Jesus. Now, from the moment we're born to the moment we die, there'll be many decisions that we have to make, many decisions that are important, like what friends we're going to have. What friends are we going to hang around with? Are they going to be helpful? Are they going to be encouraging? Are they going to point us in the right direction? Are they going to support us? Are we going to support them and help them? What kind of studies we're going to do? What college we're going to go to? What university we're going to go to? What kind of job we're going to get? What career path we're going to go on? Who we're going to get married to? When we're going to get married? And where we're going to live? And what house we're going to buy? And are we going to have children, and how many, etc., etc., etc. And as we saw earlier, one of the listeners was talking about the plans that we have. We have all those plans and decisions that we make. And they're really important, for sure, as we journey through this life. Some are very insignificant about what you're going to wear today. But others are really, really important. But the most important decision of all is whether we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Saviour. And you know, that isn't just something that we do one off and then that's it. We can tick the box and say, well, we've done that. That's on my list to do. I've been to this place, I've been to that place, I've done this, I've done that. I want to learn the, I don't know, how to trampoline or how to play the trombone or whatever it is. I can tick that off and I've become a Christian, I'll tick that off. It's not quite like that. See, when we make that decision to put our faith and trust in Jesus, there is a kind of start, there is a crossing the line, as it were, there is a prayer that maybe you prayed, and there is a kind of like response that maybe you made, but that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of the journey of salvation, the journey of our commitment to follow God and to be with his people. It's just the start. If you're a member of this church, you will know that one of our ethoses is that we're an ordinary group of people who are on a journey, exploring, experiencing, and expressing the heart of God. And you may have started that exploring before you made that commitment to Jesus, exploring what God is like, exploring who Jesus is. Was he really true? Did he really live? Did he really die? Were the claims he made, did they really affect my life? You would have been exploring that maybe weeks, months, years before you actually make that decision. But since you make that decision, that doesn't mean the exploring stops. There's always something more to learn about God. There's always something more to explore about the greatness of our God. And then, of course, it's not just about about exploring. It's about experiencing some of these things that we read about, some of the things that we hear about. We experience Him with us and leading us and guiding us, and we experience His love, His grace, His mercy, His judgment, His rebuke. We experience these things. It's not just an academic exercise, right? And then, of course, we express these things to others around us, because this is good news that we have. That the God who made the heavens and the stars and who made us loves us and wants a relationship with us. That's good news, and that's what Christmas is all about when we're thinking about that. So this is a journey that we're on, and the journey that we're on is always like that. It's always going up and up and up. It gets better and better and better and better and higher and higher and more exciting and more exciting, and it never seems to go like this, does it? The journey that we're on is sometimes a challenging one. In fact, if we're really honest, it's always a challenging one. And so often, in the midst of those disappointments or discouragements and pain and suffering, we get tired, we get rude, we get disappointed and discouraged when we face these challenges. And some of us moan and grumble and complain, and some of us even drop off the edge. And you will know people who have done that. There'll be people who you've journeyed with along the path who are no longer on that path. I'm sure every single one of us will know that. You see, there are challenges that we face, for sure. And some of us do give up. Why is that? Well, we're starting a new series looking at a book. It's around this book called A Lot of Obedience in the Same Direction. And it's called Discipleship in an Instant Society. And it's written by Eugene Peterson, who's the guy who wrote the Message Bible, really great writer. And he wrote this book some 25 years ago. It's not a new book. But he saw a pattern developing in the Western world in particular, and thought, I need to really challenge this. And it was really kind of asking the question, yeah, but just to say, this is a 16-chapter book. But we're actually going to be doing it in 7 weeks, because there's a little Bible study that goes with it, which is 7 weeks, which kind of gives an overview of the whole book. So if you can, I'd encourage you to buy the book and read it. But your small group leaders will have a copy of this Bible study book, and with all the questions in it. So, you know, if you don't, you'll still have this. But I'd encourage you to buy it, because it's a good book. It is one of those kind of long, I read several years ago now, and I've been saying to the elders for a few years, we should do this book, we should do this book, we should do this book, and finally we're going to do it. Because I think it's important. But one of the things that Eugene Peterson says at the start of that book, he asked the question about, are we pilgrims and disciples, or are we just tourists? All of us are on the same journey, but as we're journeying through this life, are we pilgrims and disciples of Christ, or are we just tourists for Christ? And we'll discover in the weeks to come what that really means. And we can answer the question ourselves about, are we a tourist or a pilgrim? But this morning, let's just think about, what is a pilgrim? What is a pilgrim? This is a dictionary definition. It says, a pilgrim tells us that we're people on the move, that we're constantly exploring, experiencing, and expressing the heart of God, that we're not standing still, that we are daily moving towards God, seeking His presence. The pilgrim understands that this place is not our home. We are on a journey to our Father's house. That is our ultimate destination. What's a disciple? Well, a disciple is a follower, a learner, an imitator or mentor of another wise figure. You know, in Jesus' day, all the disciples, all the rabbis had disciples, every single rabbi. Villages had disciples, and to be a disciple meant you strive to know what your rabbi knew, to do what your rabbi did, and so become like him in every way. Therefore, for us to be a Christian is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's our rabbi. To follow him, to learn from him, to do what he did, and to become like him in every way. So the call upon our lives is to be a pilgrim people, followers of Christ, wherever he may lead, disciples of Jesus, doing his work. Now that is a high calling, indeed, and impossible without his help. What's a tourist? A tourist, dictionary definition says this. A tourist is a person who's travelling or visiting a place for purely pleasure, spending time away from home in pursuit of recreation, relaxation, and personal pleasure. So it's all about comfort. It's all about my enjoyment. It's all about my needs. New experience, but not at any personal cost. Eugene Peterson suggests that so many of us struggle and many give up on the journey of faith because we're actually living as Christian tourists rather than pilgrims and disciples of Christ. Let me just read you something from his book. See, this book is around the Psalms of Ascent, and they range from something like Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. There are 15 of them. It says this. These 15 Psalms were sung possibly in sequence by Hebrew pilgrims as they went up to Jerusalem to the great worship festival. Jerusalem was the highest city geographically in Palestine, and so all who travelled there spent much of their time ascending. But the ascent was not only literal, it was also metaphorical. The trip to Jerusalem acted out a life lived upward towards God, an existence that advanced from one level to another in developing maturity. This picture of the Hebrews singing these 15 songs as they left their homes and made their way from their towns and their villages, their farms and their cities, as pilgrims up to Jerusalem, has become embedded in the Christian devotional imagination. It is our best background for understanding life as a faith journey. There are no better songs for the road for those who travel the way of faith in Christ. For those who choose to live no longer as tourists in this world, but as pilgrims, the Psalms of Ascent combine all the cheerfulness of a travel song with the practicality of a guidebook and a map. Guidebook and a map. And my hope and my prayer is that as we, over the next few weeks, look at this book and look at these Psalms, the Psalms of Ascent, that we will be able to answer the question ourselves, am I a tourist or am I a pilgrim, a disciple of Christ? This morning, I just want to do a little reflection on another Psalm, which is not one of the Psalms of Ascent, but it is a Psalm of pilgrimage, and it's Psalm 84. Just to help us and to kick off this series. So let's, if you've got your Bibles, Psalm 84 is up on the screen now. So let's read it together. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrows found a home and swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King, my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. For better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk his blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. three things that I want to look at. Well, the psalmist, how he responds. The first is this. We see the psalmist's desire. His desire is in this. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart, my flesh cry out for the living God. My soul yearns, even faints. His desire is that more than anything else is that he wants to be in God's presence. That he wants to be close to God. He's even envious of the birds who are unable to make their nests near the courts of the Lord. You see, the temple was where God was present on earth. It was a special place, it was a precious place, because it represented the very presence of God on earth. And he wanted to be as close to God as he possibly could. That was his desire. That was the yearning of his heart. More than anything else, above anything else, before anything else, to be close to God. Secondly, we see the psalmist's decision. You see, he's not close to God, as in he's not in the temple, he's not near the temple. But he says this, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. For whatever reason, he's not near the temple, he's not up there at the moment. Challenges he's facing, but he makes a decision that he set his heart on pilgrimage, that his eyes are towards the temple, that his heart is towards the temple, that his heart is towards God, that his eyes are looking upwards towards God. His heart is on pilgrimage, he is on the up. The decisions that we make in life are so important, aren't they? The way that we respond to challenges, the way we respond to just all the things that happen around us. It's been a challenging couple of years, isn't it? Let's be honest, it's been really challenging. I mean, I've been in ministry now, this is my 24th year as a pastor. And the last couple of years, I know you can't believe it, I started as a young prodigy. Yeah, I was only 8 or something like that. But, you know, I have to confess, the last couple of years have been the most tiring. They've been the most draining. And yet, I mean, it's not that I've faced all kinds of challenges personally, all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of pain, all kinds of suffering. It's not that. It's just the fact that everyone else is at the same time. Everyone. Normally you're used to a couple of families just struggling, or a couple of families, you know, going through really painful, difficult things and not sure what's happening and finding it hard. But actually we're all in the same boat. I mean, some are struggling more and suffering more, but we're all, to some extent, restricted, confined. Changing. We have decisions to make in the midst of these things. This psalm is, I'm setting my heart on pilgrimage. Nothing's going to stop me from getting there. Nothing's going to stop me from getting close to God. Those of you who've been in my office may have seen behind where I sit, and also this in the kitchen at home, little mess. A poster, and it's called Attitudes, and I've read this out before, but it's a poster that my mother gave to me on the weekend I was ordained as a Baptist minister, some 20 odd years ago now, and she was wise. She knew that I needed to read this record, and I need to read even more in recent days. It says this is from a guy called Charles Swindon. It says, words can never adequately convey the incredible impact of our attitude towards life. The longer I live, the more convinced I become that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% of how we respond to it. I believe the single most significant decision that I can make on a day-to-day basis is my choice of attitude. It's more important than my past, my education, my paycheck, my success and failures, fame or pain, what other people think of me or say about me, my circumstances or my position in life. For attitude keeps me going or it cripples my progress. It alone fuels my fire or it sorts my hope. When my attitudes are right, there's no barrier too high and no valley too deep and no dream too extreme and no challenge too great for me. Progress on the journey to be crippled. He sets his heart on pilgrimage. And you know the amazing thing is, as he passes through the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Baca was a wilderness, it was a dry place, it was a desert place. Nothing grew there, nothing happened there, it was a barren place. And he had to pass through. God didn't lift him up out of it. He didn't suddenly transport him out of it into a nice oasis. He had to go through it. But in the midst of it, as he went through it, it says that it's turned into a place of springs. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Those who set their hearts on pilgrimage, even in the barren places, even in the dry places, God is able to bring fruitfulness. And he brings fruitfulness because he's a blessing, not just to him, but to others. You see, he prays for others in verse 8, hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty, listen to me, God of Jacob, look on our shield, O God, look with favor on your anointed one. I don't know about you, but when I'm struggling, I find it hard to pray. I don't know how to pray for anything, let alone myself. And yet, he says, when he sets his heart on God, when he sets his heart on God, when he chooses to do that, and he chooses even to put others before himself, then the blessings come, despite their personal situation. I wonder, have you ever heard God call your name? Have you heard him call you by name? Your actual name? I can honestly say that I've heard the Lord speak to me on many, many occasions. And when I say that, speak to me, I don't mean audible voice. I've never heard an audible voice, although I know some people do. But for me, it's like an inner witness. It's a still, small voice in my heart, in my spirit. And God just speaks into it and tells me what to do, tells me where to go, shows me different things. And it can happen as I'm sleeping, as I'm praying, as I'm reading God's word, as I'm walking down the street, wherever it is. It can happen anywhere, but God speaks to me. But in all honesty, I can only think of one occasion when God actually, in the stillness of my spirit, spoke to me but used my name. I know some people say he uses that name all the time, but on this one occasion, it was more of a rebuke than anything else. I've just become the associate pastor of Highgate Baptist Church, and we were in a service, and one of the families there were dedicating their fifth child. And the dad, understandably, was excited, and he was up the front saying, "Praise the Lord, I'm blessed. The Lord," and he quoted the psalm where it says, "Blessed is the man who has his quiver full." And he was quoting scripture, and as I was sitting there, it just really irritated me what he said. 2 years earlier, Kate and I had heard the news that we officially, medically, would never have our own children. It was impossible. And we were praying for a miracle, we were doing all, you know, kinds of things, but that's what the answer wasn't. And as this guy just kept on going on about how he was blessed, I could have felt myself thinking, well, does that mean I'm cursed then? You're blessed, does that mean I'm cursed? You know, you're great, you know, I won't tell you what I really thought of him, but you know, it wasn't that holy, to be honest. And as I was sitting on that front row with him right in front of me, I just felt the Lord speak my name. That in time, and I was having to speak my name, and said, Johnny, and it was a rebuke. Johnny, you need to learn to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and mourn with those who are mourning. He said, this isn't about you. This is about his family. And I've given them a blessing. This is a time for rejoicing. And you need to share in the rejoicing with me. Not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. And I can say, well, okay, Lord. But you're going to have to help me with this. And I hope that he has helped me. I believe he has. And I believe he's had a plan too. That we rejoice because God is blessing so many others and he's blessed me in so many different ways as we journey this thing together. And I hope that through our challenges that we've been able to pray for others who sometimes have gone through the same challenges. Often they come out the other way, you know, with God's blessing in a physical baby or something like that, or they've had the reward. And it just reminded me that even as we go through these things, that our pain, our suffering, we can use for good to be a blessing to others, for sure. There's going to be challenges. We're going to go through these valleys. None of us will miss out on this. It will be different for each of us. But in the midst of this, let's set our eyes on pilgrimage. We're pilgrims, we're disciples of Christ on this journey. It's not just about having all our needs or wants or comforts met. It's about being obedient to the Lord. And in the midst of that, he blesses us with joy in incredible ways. The third thing about Psalms is this, it's his dependence. In verse 11 and 12, he says, for the Lord God is the sun's shield. As he goes through that valley, he's been protected as a son and as a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk his blameless. And we may understand, we may, you know, struggle with that sometimes. We think what is good for us, maybe God doesn't think it's good for us. He has a plan. And we do have to trust him at times. But Lord God Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. You see, his dependence is in the Lord. His dependence is not in his own strength. It's not in his own wisdom. It's not in his own goodness or his own achievements. It's in the Lord. He's totally convinced of that. That's where his strength comes. That's where his hope comes. That's where the blessing comes. Thinking about this question as we journey through this life as Christians, are we tourists or are we pilgrims? Are we tourists or are we disciples of Christ? I'm saying this to challenge myself. I'm not just saying it to challenge you. There's no rebuke, there's no judgment. It's a question. But I think it's a question that if we answer honestly, it will help us in all the joys and all the highs, but also all the lows and the challenges of life that we will face in 2022. So as we close, three questions for you as we begin a new year. What's your heart's desire for 2022? What is your heart? Maybe just shut your eyes for a minute. Shut your eyes and just as I read this out. And be honest with before God. What is your heart's desire for 2022, what do you want to see happen more than anything? Or should I say, who is your heart's desire? Who do you want to be close to more than anyone else in 2022? respond to life's challenges. Comes away. How are you going to respond? How are you going to decide how you're going to face these things? Happening around the world, economically, politically, relationally, financially, all kinds of things. So much uncertainty. Who are you looking to? Where's your help? Where's your strength? Where's your wisdom come from? Lord, I pray that over the next few weeks as we journey through this book that Eugene Peterson, your servant, wrote all those years ago, that we would understand what it means. The Lord would be in the right direction, in the same direction. That we'd understand and come to that place where we can truly say whether we believe we're a tourist or whether we're a pilgrim. Lord, would you lead us and guide us? Would you equip us, would you help us, would you strengthen us, would you give us a desire and a heart that longs to be close to you, that longs to walk in obedience to you, that longs to be under your blessing, that we may be a blessing to those around us. Lord, may you be our help, may you be our strength, may you be our wisdom in 2022. Pray in Jesus' name.